episode 112 of Comics and Us. I'm TJ.
And I'm Chris.
And I'm Lumpy.
And this is the review show that reviews comics chronologically, kind of. We're going into the November 1944 issue of Detective Comics, the Batman story, of course. This one's called One Night's Crime. It was written by Bill Finger, a name we haven't seen in a while.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a new one. I mean, that's a blast from the past.
So, it was penciled by Ed Cressy and Dick Sprang, inked and lettered by Dick Sprang, and edited by Jack Schiff. The executive editor
George Russo's?
Why are you obsessed with George Russo's all of a sudden?
I don't know. I feel like I'm missing him. You haven't said his name in the last couple of episodes. It's bothering me.
The executive editor was Whitney Ellsworth, and the cover artist was Dick Sprang. I don't know what George Russo's is. Maybe he's on vacation.
This is bullcrap. You know what? I'm not coming back until George Russo's comes back.
Or maybe he's like working on another comic.
Okay, he might be with Marvel.
Marvel doesn't exist right now, but he might be on Superman or something.
I hope he's on, what was that one from the very original Detective Comics? Slim Shady? No, what was his name?
Slim Bradley.
Slim Shady.
Slim Bradley is still around, and he's closing this issue, actually.
Oh, really? Will the real Slam Brady please stand up?
Oh, you know what? I know exactly where George Russo is. He is penciling, inked, coloring, and lettering Airwave, the story after Batman.
Ah, George Russo. Nice. We should cover that one too, then.
No thanks, I'm good. But yeah, he's got literally credited for the entire comic.
Ah, nice.
Well, it's weird. It doesn't say who wrote that Airwave comic. It just says he drew everything.
George Russo's wrote it.
Doesn't say he was credited for it. So. It's weird. The Boy Commandos issue also have a penciler, or a writer, or a letterer.
Maybe it's the same guy wrote all of them from Batman on.
In the Airwave one, it says penciled, ink, and colored and lettered by George Russo, and they list them four times, but they don't list the writer.
Huh.
So that's weird. Anyway, moving on. Who wants to do the cover?
I'll do
it. Nobody.
You got the Batman symbol in the corner, number 93. So the line at the top line is light blue, and it says November this time. Wait, it actually says NOV dot dot dot. So I got the dot 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 this time.
Oh, you got the dot dot dot.
You have your Superman.
Yes. I'm trying to get to mine. Oh, yeah.
Superman publication DC. Yeah, I just don't have the 10 cents. Detective Comics in red on a yellow background. Then we have a pink and red brick wall that covers the whole background. You have Batman diving down to stop a blade from cutting Robin, who's tied up in a chair.
No. Yeah,
it's a pendulum blade.
Yes. No, Batman jumped down to push that pendulum and kill Robin.
He's the one swinging it back and forth.
Yeah, Batman released the pendulum
to
kill Robin.
His feet are bolted to the ground.
Yeah.
I've never seen anybody do that before. They bolted his head
to the
ground.
And the chair is nailed to the ground.
Yeah. But then they just use regular rope to tie him up with.
Batman wanted to make sure this time.
I don't remember that from the comic at all.
It's because it's not in the comic.
Everything is canon.
Anyway, the advertiser page is just telling us about the different comic books. So, moving past that. Non-canon splash page.
Uncle Chris. We got Batman and Robin, the Boy Wonder in red, the regular Batman symbol in the background, and then Batman and Robin are jumping down onto like a sightseeing bus, and a giant hand is pointing at the bus. It kind of looks like a gorilla hand or like a ape's hand or something. And then
it's
coming
Bill
around,
Finger's signature.
Oh, it's a finger. I get it. It's Bill Finger. Then we got like a bunch of mobsters coming running from the other side towards the sightseeing bus, but they look bigger than the bus, and Batman and Robin look bigger than the bus. And there's a 80 paragraph page of the entire story on the side, and it says Bob Kane.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
So we open proper with
step right up, folks. Get your tickets while they last.
Thrills,
chills, guaranteed.
I've never been on a sightseeing tour. Have you?
No.
No.
Never been anywhere.
They only do that
worth it.
California now. Right. I mean, I think they did it in Philadelphia at one point, but I don't know. It didn't look like fun to me.
We tried to do one in Savannah, Georgia, but they were closed for the day, so we didn't get to go.
Anyway, as you guys alluded to, we open up with a guy selling tickets to sightseeing show for the biggest show on Earth. No, is it? Yeah, the biggest show on Earth. See, Gotham City, the biggest show on Earth. For some reason, I thought it said budget. So he's selling tickets to, and they're going to the Port of Missing Men, Little Bohemia, and Chinatown. So, for 50 cents.
I mean, at least it's cheap. What is that, pigeons flying around on the other side there?
Yeah, or seagulls or something.
It's Gotham, could be either or. People are coming in line for this sightseeing tour. The first one is this actress lady who is running out of money, but she's going to spend the 50 cents to take a sightseeing tour because she's bored. Yeah.
Lovely Mary Dale.
And this is not the first time we've had an actress down on her luck, decided to do something stupid, and then everything falls into her lap at the end of it.
I don't think this is the third time that happened. I think it's more than that.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, this is, the story's getting kind of old. This cast of character things, and then the actress always gets paired up at the end with the rich guy, and then the other guys. Right. This is stupid at this point. Anyway, also being stupid are two runaway kids who ran away to the city to become amateur detectives, and they're running out of money too. And yet they're wasting their money on this tour because they need to get the lay of the land.
That's what I loved about this comic.
What, that they ran away?
Two kids looking for adventure went out. They want to be detectives, trying to learn more about the city.
Okay. Come on. Except it all resets at the end anyway, so it doesn't make any difference.
And they're honorary detectives.
You're spoiling.
No, you spoiled it. You said it resets
at the end. Oh, I said it resets at the end. That's every Batman story that resets at the end. At the end of every issue, we go back to the status quo at this point. So
maybe this one's going to be different.
It's not. There's really no running storyline except for, like,
there's not.
Penguin. There really is.
Yeah.
No, it's just.
And even Jokers, I feel like, aren't necessarily running stories. Just he has a little bit of a running thing where he's not in jail or he is in jail.
Right, he just shows up. I never know if he was supposed to be in jail or if he's out of jail. And nobody's looking for him sometimes. He's living on his own, but he's not doing any crime. It's
yeah, if you read these in different orders, it wouldn't matter.
No, because especially the last few that we've got, it's been like Bobo of the Week. So
yep, there's nothing.
In any case, the last guy in line is a playwright who's searching for a new dramatic plot. And then their narrator tells us, speaking of drama, some guys are getting robbed. A loan company's getting robbed. Batman and Robin show up because that's what they do. They beat up some guys. They throw some other guys. But the leader of the robbery gets away. And police show up, but the owner of the loan company is like, hey, you caught all those guys, but the main guy with the money actually got away.
The one with $50,000, too.
Yeah. And Batman and Robin are hopeless because they have no clue what happened to them because they couldn't see that fat man running away.
And they also have no access to a radio right now because the radio will just tell them where he went. He went on the sightseeing tour. Yeah.
World's greatest detective, everyone. Anyway, the guy with the money goes to the sightseeing tour and gets on the bus too because why not? That's a good escape plan, sure.
But we get a bunch of creepy dudes like in these like couple panels. Did you notice how creepy these people are?
Well, the first one is a mobster calling his friends about the guy with the money getting on the bus.
He looks like something from a horror movie.
Yes.
And then the next panel is even weirder.
Then the next panel, the sightseeing tour is on their tour, and they pass by some guy who's missing from France, and what's her name from Ghostbusters? The receptionist.
I forget her name, but that is her.
Man, why can't
I know, I can't think of her name either.
I want to say Edna, but that's not it.
It'll come to me.
Janine, it is.
Yep.
That's definitely Janine and some French guy that escaped France.
But this is a part of the town. I can't remember what it's called. Oh, Bohemians.
Little Bohemia, yeah.
Okay, yeah. This is Little Bohemia. But, okay, we pass Little Bohemia, and then we go to the Port of Missing Men, where all the people on a sightseeing tour get out of the bus and just ogle homeless people.
Yeah, they just go out and look at all the homeless people.
That's what it is. It's literally what they're doing.
And it anyway. Looks like the red light district. You got hotel rooms, tattooing.
Why is that on the door?
Let's take them to the baddest neighborhood in Gotham.
They're lucky they get robbed.
Should be the worst, but whatever.
It's what people like to do, though.
Okay.
Like, you're not getting on a sightseeing tour to go see the nice houses in the area. You're going to see the seedier parts. That's what you want to see.
I thought that was exactly what a sightseeing tour is in California. Don't they take you to all the, like, they show you all the celebrities' houses and shit?
Yeah, the celebrities are worse than these homeless people.
Most of the time they are. You're
just seeing what disaster lives they live. And they have money.
Anyway, the next stop is Chinatown, where they go into the Joss House. I don't know what a Joss House is.
I'm sure it has a meaning, but I don't know that one.
No.
But apparently there's a guy in the Joss House showing off statues of Buddha and stuff. So it's almost like a museum, it looks like.
I don't know if it was a museum or some kind of religious place. I don't know.
Whatever the case, while they're all in there, the bad guys go on to
the Chinese temple.
Okay, the Joss House. Religious.
Yep.
There you go. Anyway, the bad guys go on to the bus and beat up the bus driver and, I guess, take over the bus. They do that, and then whenever everyone gets on board unaware, except for the guy with the money who notices he recognizes one of the drivers. So he tries to pull a gun on him, but then he gets shot and killed. And then the rest of the new gangsters take the whole bus hostage. And they're all surprised about
that. They did murder that guy right on the bus, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Yep.
Right in front of everybody.
And the little kids and everything.
And they do multiples, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, we'll get to that. So so the bad guys take the bus to their hideout. Meanwhile, the bus driver tells the cops that, hey, someone stole my sightseeing bus. And the cops are like, are you crazy? Why would someone do that? And so they get over the radio, and Bruce and Dick have a crime radio in their regular car.
Honorary police, aren't they? Didn't they make them honorary police?
Batman and Robin are, and it would be in the Batmobile, but this is just Bruce Wayne's car.
True. But, I mean, it is, in a sense, Batman's car, too, right?
Well, and Bruce Wayne is honorary, too, because him and Gordon are friends, so.
I'm just wondering if the police Gotham are just that stupid and they just say their stuff over the regular radio.
You think they're just broadcasting it, like on 94 YSP?
Yeah.
It's possible. It's Gotham, so.
Anyway, Bruce and Dick hear over the radio what's happening, and then they almost run over a guy in an orange suit. At least that's what it looks like. It
does look like that. The guy jumped out of the way. Chinese guy, it looks like, from Chinatown.
Anyway, the bad guys have the tour bus hostage, and one of the guys is like, they're going to kill us all, and then that guy gets killed because he said that.
Yeah, so, you never say it.
And so the bad guys tie up all the tourists, except for the girl who pretends to faint, and because it's, you know, casual 1940s sexism, they're like, she's just a fainting woman. She'll never wake up in time to see what happens.
Yeah, and what's it going to matter anyway? She's weak.
Yeah. So they tie up everyone else, and then they have this bus. I don't know how they got this bus down into this cavern thing, because it's like they're in a sealed place, which they're going to fill up with water, which is going to drown everyone in the thing.
Seems like a lot of work, or you could have just shot everybody.
But they showed them going in through, like, the garage door. But later we know they can get down here through a trap door. I'm not sure how they got the bus in here in the first place, but whatever. This isn't the most ridiculous thing that happened in this.
It does say there's, like, a special garage they drive into.
I guess.
But I guess it's set up to flood. It's weird.
I don't know why they would have it to set up the flood, though, unless they do this every day.
Well, they said they're going to drain the place and run the bus and the bodies into the river at the end.
Right, but and they also said they're going to close the water-sealed doors. It's like, why do you have this?
Yeah, they're drowning people left and right here.
Anyway, they close the doors and they're going to start drowning these people, but the woman gets up because she was faking it. And she's going to tie everybody. Meanwhile, the two amateur detective kids, like, they managed to keep their pen and paper and their sling slot shot. Should they
are put they a piece also of on the bus?
Yes.
Why didn't they get tied up?
Why what? They did. The woman tied everyone.
Yeah, she didn't get tied up because she fainted, so then she untied everybody.
Yeah.
So they write a note, and the and then they use the slingshot to fling a note out of the cellar window that they're in, and guess who just happens to be right by?
It hits Batman in the head. The cat doesn't like that.
Yeah, no, the cat did not like that at all.
Yeah, they've had enough of this. Where are you?
I don't know, but he's really loud. I don't know why they're so loud.
He's on your lap. I know.
They're up in the stairwell, and it's literally right above my mic, so it echoes down from the stairwell.
Anyway, so Batman finds the note that, you know, said, hey, help us, we're going to drown. The big eyes are here, and so Batman and Robin climb the roof so they can break through with the skylight.
Yeah, and then they go wind up getting stuck down there with them, don't they?
Well, no. They go through the skylight on top of the big eyes, and there's a fight breaks out where Robin punches a guy, Batman punches another guy over a chair, and then Robin gets hit in the back of the head with a blackjack, and Batman rushes a guy and punches him in the face, and then Batman gets hit in the back of the head
and
with a gun, knocking him out. So.
Ah, I see now.
We have Batman's 76th knockout and Robin's 52nd knockout.
And the top of this thing is open? Where the bad guys can just look down? Or
no, and the one panel right after Batman gets hit, they open up like a sewer grate.
Oh, I see. They're drawn. Okay, I got it.
Yeah, and so they throw Batman and Robin down into the water, which automatically wakes them up because, you know.
They have superpower.
Yeah.
And they mentioned that in here or something, I swear.
The shock of the cold water
revives it down to a lake.
And so Batman talks to the sightseers, and they go into the bus, and apparently they're stripping up the metal. Ridiculous. What is it? They find like a kit tool, and there's strips of steel running lengthwise on the bus that they pull up so they can make ramps.
Yeah.
That they set up against the store. Also, all the other guys are like telling them Batman and Robin their backstories and stuff. We don't care about that stuff. Whatever.
Everything underwater, like you can't drive underwater, right?
Yeah, but they're not completely under yet.
Exhaust is though, right? Wouldn't that make it stall out?
I mean, yeah.
He doesn't have a snorkel.
Not if you keep it running. As long as you keep it running, it won't. But if it slows down, it could suck water into the motor.
Okay, but how do they get the lengthwise things on underneath the tires in the first place? Did they drive it through the water?
No, they drove the bus up onto them.
Okay.
Yeah, they drove through the water.
Wouldn't work, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, this
there's
would not
nothing
work.
About it. There's nothing about it that would actually work. So analyze it.
Those steel things would have bent anyway.
Yeah, there's nothing about this that would have actually worked in real life.
They would have been better off just standing on each other's shoulders at this point.
Exactly.
They could have just stayed on each other's shoulders and then have Batman go out first and then lower the rope and have him pull them out one by one. Or, better yet, let the water fill up to that open window and then swim out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can't, backstroke until you get up to that little window and swim the hell out of it.
Right, like, I get the idea they tied everyone down in the so that they would drown in the bus.
But once she freed everybody?
Yeah, everyone's free. They can just wait till it fills up and then swim out.
Now it's just water, so you're fine.
And when that window got up to water level, the water would have just went out the window anyway, so.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not tied to their seats. They can swim. Like, I mean, you might lose a couple people that don't swim well or something.
And they're even dumber to leave the woman unconscious there. It'll be too late. As soon as that water hits her, she's going to wake up. So
right.
Yeah, this whole
plan. Nothing about that was.
No, this whole plan, the bad guys and Batman's plan, is stupid. There are easier solutions to all this, is all we're saying. Anyway, everyone's saved, and Batman and Robin go back into the house. Because the idiots don't bother to, you know, post the guard or something.
Right.
To see what's happening. And then Batman and Robin. Okay. I tried.
At first it sounded like a Mogwai again. He had a Mogwai over there.
Batman and Robin go in and, like, beat up the guards, or the bad guys. And, yeah, they beat them up. The bad guys confess, because that's what they do in 1940. They kidnapped these guys to murder. They were going to murder them because they saw them murder that other guy with the money.
Right.
The end. Or you would think, because the story keeps going.
Well, you got to tie up the loose ends. The rich guy.
No one cares about the rich guy who realized that the girl is a great actress, and now she's going to be a part of his play. No one gives a crap.
Did you see how good she acted? Like she passed out.
No one gives a crap about the stupid kids that are now going to go back home. Who said their parents are going to be so glad to meet see them again when they're probably going to get beat and grounded for running away even though they're going to be heroes to all their friends because they're going to be flown back to the black plane.
I'll tell you what, in the 40s, I don't think too many parents didn't care about like beating the crap out of their kids either. So
nope.
Anyway, Batman says, I feel pretty good about this, Robin, and Robin agrees, and then the story ends.
And then the story ends, and I just kept going, and
I was going to bring it up, too. Mump, you don't have this, but...
The line is crazy. Yep. Go ahead,
TJ. So, the next page is a Wheaties ad. And it says that there's... officer in a tent, and two officers are watching him. The officer in the tent is on a bed reading a Japanese English dictionary. And the two officers that are watching him, is one of them telling the other guy, he's polishing up on his Jap lingo so he knows how to ask for Wheaties when we hit Tokyo.
He's polishing up on his Jap lingo.
So he knows how to ask for Wheaties when he gets there.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, whoever the owner of Wheaties was at the time had no problem calling them Japs.
Nope.
So, appearing in Batman One Night of Crime, Batman, Robin, antagonists, Tiger Raglan, single appearance, dies. Dutch, Frenchie, Lavoie, and Lefty, all single appearances. And then it says other characters, and Gotham City Police Department's on there for some reason. Mary Dale, Johnny Reed, Eddie Barton, and Victor Clement, all single appearances. Why don't we ever reuse these, like, actresses and stuff?
Right, like, Mary Dale becomes a famous actress. Like, why not?
Why can't we just reuse her?
You could tie her in somewhere, but...
I know, they keep using the same storyline over again. Why is
I know, but
character?
Different actors and actresses. It's crazy. Location, Gotham City and Gotham City Chinatown. Items are the bat rope.
That one was too convoluted for me. I'm sorry. That one was kind of stupid.
They're
it was
all a too crazy. Convoluted for you. But here's the thing. I'm going to say that Bill Finger needs credit on every modern hijacking movie
True.
Or kidnapping movie because
True.
The guy he did it before any first. Of these things. He wrote this story. I read this and I thought, this is basically every stupid hijacking movie that's out right now. Like, or even like into the bank robbery stuff, like the stupid things. Like
you say
I just
that,
thought it, and I'm like,
you say that, but how many books have been written on that stuff at this time? Everything's true. Stolen from something. So yeah.
No way, Bill Finger did it. No way.
So like everything,
you find one before this, and then I'll give it to you. But until then,
I'm sure I can. I don't even probably need to even go to books. I can just go to the black and white mobster movies at the time, who probably did it 1,000 times.
Dick Tracy was out before this, wasn't he?
Yeah, Dick Tracy. Go right to Dick Tracy. Probably out there too.
You go find one with a hijacked bus.
Maybe not a hijacked sightseeing tour bus.
I'm telling you, this is. Bill Finger,
but I don't think I've seen a hijacked of a sightseeing door bus ever since this either. So
I've seen a movie and I can't remember what it is, and they're up on the rooftop.
Yeah,
of the
they're
lawn.
On the second story of the bus.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this I'm telling you, yeah. Bill Finger wrote it.
But wasn't isn't
he
that,
needs and, credit?
Isn't that like just how English buses are, double deckers? I don't think
now you're
like
now you're being racist, saying things about English people. Not all English. Buses have the
English is not a race, it's a nationality.
You're being a linguist talking about people who speak English.
That's not a language. Well, it is, but it's not a language either. I would be like a nationalist if anything.
You're being racist. Right
you can't
now.
Even get your
you're generalizing. Right. You're generalizing.
No, you're the one that's generalizing
buses.
Saying all
you,
these
you
things
are. No, I'm generalizing the movies. You generalized English buses. So
I said, so, I'm so not all of them, but some of them are.
You said, Lumpy isn't that how English buses
you stereotype in buses. Lumpy has a problem with your stereotype of buses.
I'm just saying Bill Finger deserves credit here. That's all I'm saying. Because when I read this, I instantly thought of every movie that's ever had a hijacked bus in it.
Did you like the story?
I did. I actually enjoyed both stories tonight. Sorry,
I didn't have a problem when I read them.
You were the one when we started to said, oh, I got something bad to say about both of these stories.
Yeah, I got
No. I said we were going to argue about it tonight because it was mainly this about Bill Finger because I knew you guys were going to do that. But
I didn't really fight me about it. I'm kind of in.
I was ready. But you got, I mean, I knew TJ would go in on the convoluted stuff. And I get it, but I just feel like that's comic books.
Especially in the 40s, I think. I don't think.
I just feel like it's every time we read these, we're like, man, you could have cut those. You could have cut those 10 pages out.
If it would have been fine. We'd have nothing to talk about. So
that's true.
That's
true.
Comic books in the 40s and 50s.
Right.
That's what we're covering.
I understand that, but
I didn't realize that's what it was. Every issue of every comic, it was going to be like this.
I mean, I think that even modern comics are pretty convoluted.
They're convoluted, but convoluted in different ways. Like, there's more, you know, sciencey mumbo jumbo, and more
longer,
super.
Aren't they? Like, this is only 13 pages.
They are longer too, yeah, and they have conclusions. They have conclusions, which also makes the convoluted of this thing bad because which goes back to the problem that you normally have, Lump, because they all just kind of just end.
Right. They have a conclusion. Comics. What they don't have is a lead up to the conclusion.
Yeah, that's my point. Without that lead up to the conclusion, it makes it even more convoluted.
Right.
Yeah. Because instead of wasting that time on like making them build ramps to drive up the wall with the waterlogged bus, come up with the story to get to the ending instead of just being like, oh, then they went in, they beat them up and tied them up, and that was it.
Because that whole sequence took 4 panels. You just wasted it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Anyway, Bill Finger still deserves credit in every modern movie.
Anyway, we're done. So tell your joke.
So did you hear that Batman bought a French restaurant in Little Bohemia? You know what he named it? You know what he named it?
I don't know, but the cats are finding it hilarious. Cat loves
it. He named it the Crepe Crusader. Crepe.
That was a boo from the cat.
That was a boo from the cat.
They ran away. The cats all ran away.
Maybe I should tell my joke. Maybe I should do like 5 jokes per episode and get the cats to run away.
You might have to.
Anyway, right. In case you didn't hear, it was the Crepe Crusader because the cats were.
No one cares.